in a sick park.
Hello, hello, and welcome to this special show. So we're coming to you live and direct on Tuesday, Christmas Eve Day, talking about Candlestick Park. What a historic venue. If you've ever been there, it's not the best venue in the world, but it's definitely got a lot of memories. It's got
it used to be nice.
Yeah, well, maybe when it was built in 1960, but there's a lot of memories there. So you're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray. That's Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. If you want to call in real quick, it's a short, abbreviated show, but you want to share some of your Candlestick stories or memories or your favorite Giants or Niners game, give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, you can email us that information at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Check out the website at rayandtaytoday.com. And definitely tweet and Facebook us, you know, get at us on Twitter and share some of those. Monday Night Football has gone to Candlestick, Ray, the most ever out of any other stadium, 36 times last night, and the Niners wind up winning it 34-24. So let's get into it, man. Let's talk about Candlestick. What are your thoughts first of last night? They're calling it the pick in the stick.
Well, what's great is that this is why people who love sports, and people who don't just really don't get it. But Navarro Bowman, right, he was the guy on the hands team that was closest to the ball. And so if you're following the game, the Niners are up three and are defending an onside kick, and the Falcons kick an onside kick, and they recover it. So Snelling recovers the kick, and they get the ball, and they drive it down, and they can take it all the way down and tie the game or score the winning touchdown. And Navarro Bowman lets Jason Snelling get the ball, and he gets it down to, you know, the 30 or so. And so they're already, you know, near field goal range. So you're thinking to yourself, wow, if we lose this game, it's my fault. And then a couple of plays later, 89 yards, pick six, Navarro Bowman.
Amazing.
The fourth-year linebacker out of Penn State, and they're calling it the pick in the stick. And this moment isn't up there with the moments we're about to go through, these other top five moments, but it was a pretty dramatic moment, shutting down Candlestick. Now, they may play one more game there, maybe two more games there, if a couple of things bounce the way of the Niners, but it most likely is going to be the last game that's played again.
You know what's great?
So
they clinched the playoff berth last night in the last game, potentially. It's definitely the last regular season game. And to go out like that, 34-24, give the Falcons and Gonzalez and Roddy White and Matt Ryan some props. They gave a very heartfelt effort, but they fell short. But, you know, it's poetic, right? I mean, this is how it had to happen. With the history of the stadium, Willie Mays is there, Jerry Rice, Steve Young, all the legends, and, you know, they win by 10, but they win with that, you know, the pick and the stick, and I thought that was great. Now, the Niners going into the last week can be the 1 seed, the 2 seed, the 5, or the 6. That's pretty fascinating and rare that I can't remember going into week 7 where it was this
season.
Crazy.
Yeah, where we're in week 17, and nobody has clinched the division in the NFC. So all four NFC divisions are up for grabs, and kudos to the NFL. We get on them when they get it wrong, but they definitely get it right when it comes to changing the schedule a few years ago to have all the divisions play each other in Week 17 to make those games relevant. And, boy, are they relevant in the NFC.
Yeah, no. It's awesome. And you know what I said to Ray off air, and it's so true, you know, as we're going to look back and reflect, but when you think about the history of Candlestick Park and you just think about the Niners and Bill Walsh and their winning, they have gone from absolute finesse with Bill Walsh and, you know, the West Coast offense to now completely physical with Jim Harbaugh. Last night was such a physical game. Steven Jackson, the running back for the Falcons, took, I mean, tremendous shots. I mean, you could hear him all over the field, from Whitmer, who wants to legally and will legally change his name to Hitmer, Navarro Bowman, Patrick Willis. Some of the greatest defenders are on that Niners team. And then, you know, Frank Gore on offensive line and Kendall Hunter, the running game was so dominant. That's exciting for football fans and Niner fans going into the future. This Santa Clara Stadium will have a physical football team coming in.
Yeah, look, they're still my favorite to win it all in the Super Bowl, despite the fact that they may be the sixth seed. But yeah, this game is great. But you know what? They played that game at the Stick. So let's get into it. Let's talk about our memories of the Stick, where you've got the stadium was built in 1960. The stadium was built for the Giants at first, and then in 1971 the Niners moved in. So for 2 years, for 11 years it was just the Giants, and then it was from then on until about 10 years ago it was the Giants moved out and it was only the Niners. But for many years, both teams played there together. So I remember those early games in, September and October, where
you would
you
see
had
the baseball field.
Imprint on that field. And it was one of those fields. It's two-way fields. Now, the only field that's still like that in the NFL, thankfully, is happening in Oakland. Yeah, with the Raiders and the A's. But that's about to change, too, eventually, because those fields. But doesn't that, I mean, that's the memory, right? With the grass, the dirt, for the Niners, and then for the Giants, the memory is, if you've ever been to that stadium, is that you could be freezing if you're on the wrong side of the stadium. And with the wind
and
the fog. Yeah. And so you could be hot. If you're in the sun, it's nice and toasty, but if you're on the wrong side of the stadium, it's freezing for Giant games.
It's hilarious. And before we get to some of these moments, let's talk about some of these players, because the minute you said about the dirt, it took me to and it flashed me to Ronnie Lott, Ricky Waters, Roger Craig, you know, seeing the dirt on the different jerseys of these different players, Fred Dean, you know, the offensive lineman like Guy McIntyre. I mean, the Niners, Brian Young, great defensive end. The Niners, when you think about this team, not only from, John Brody, Montana, to Young, Garcia, Alex Smith, and now Kaepernick, it's very, you know, a proud, historic franchise with some legendary players and maybe the greatest of all time in Jerry Rice. And another Hall of Fame receiver in Terrell Owens. What do you think when you talk about the memories? And let's go into those moments. Give me, you know, out of the five, you know, we've talked about 10 or 11 of them, but give me one, because we know what the number one memory is. That's the catch. We'll talk about that later. But give me a memory. Give me a moment in Candlestick Park that talks about the Niners and the dirt and just the field and the winning.
So I'll shoot one out. So in 1998, the Niners, who had won the Super Bowl in 94, and then for three straight years, they were knocked out of the Super Bowl by the Green Bay Packers. And then the Packers come, and this is a first-round game, so it's not quite the NFC Championship, but it's still a playoff game. And the Niners have the ball in the fourth quarter driving, and Jerry Rice comes back. He had hurt his ACL that year, but he, you know, rehabbed and was back. And the quarterback was Jeff Garcia. So last play, Jeff Garcia on, I think it was a fourth down, goes over the middle to Terrell Owens. Terrell Owens gets drilled, but he holds on to the ball, and a star is born. Now, you knew about Jerry Rice, and he was a Hall of Famer even then, but a star was born. Look, Jeff Garcia is a three-time Pro Bowler, and then Jerry Rice watched.
Works for NFL Network now.
As his boy Terrell Owens catches it, gets hammered, and the Niners get over the hump, beat the Packers, and go on to advance. They lose the next week to the Atlanta Falcons, but what a game, what a catch, what a drive. So that to me was a great moment for I'm not even a Niner fan, right? But that was a great moment in Candlestick.
No, it definitely was. There are really are so many. And for me, when I think about the Niners and I think about these memories, I also remember and love just the whole transformation and the battle of not just San Francisco Green Bay, but San Francisco and Dallas. And when Deion Sanders, you know, came over and was with Steve Young and left the Cowboys, and, you know, the Cowboys had their Super Bowl run beating the Bills. They got their three with Troy Aikman. And then it was sort of redemption and time for Steve Young to get his. And Steve Young leading the Niners and, you know, getting that victory and this, and, you know, the run through Candlestick and beating the Cowboys and getting to the Super Bowl and destroying the Chargers. I don't know, what was it, 55-17 or something ridiculous in the Super Bowl. To me, that was like the moment for Steve Young and for, you know, the Niners to really solidify themselves and become a dominant, you know, team again, and let Steve, well, Steve Young, that's one of the best Niner teams ever just because of the dominance, but Steve Young finally got the monkey off his back. And anybody that appreciates quarterbacking or football and, you know, just the story and the journey going from Tampa Bay to nothing to that and winning, you got to enjoy that. Why don't you take the listeners back, because we've got two great moments, and they're not for football, but take us back to 1966, is it?
Yeah, so unless you're a music fan and unless you're a little bit older, you won't even remember this. But
we
yeah,
don't remember.
Beatles,
we're not that old.
No, I know, but the Beatles played for the last time that the four Beatles were together in the same venue was at Candlestick Park. So in 1966, the Beatles played Candlestick Park. So for all you Beatles fans out there, what a moment that must have been. We weren't there. We weren't around for it. But you know what? We can certainly recognize what everybody says and what everybody's been talking about is that that was one of the great moments of Candlestick Park. The other one that comes to mind is a baseball moment.
Yeah.
So, and this one's a
and
little
everyone
sad.
Knows where they were. Everyone knows where they were during the earthquake.
Right. Thankfully, you know, nobody got injured at the stadium. I mean, people got injured and people, you know, there were some casualties. But think about how much more it could have been and how devastating it could have been when 21 minutes before the first pitch of Game 3 in the 1989 World Series, the Bay Area World Series, where it was the
A's.
A's
on the Giants.
We're in the World Series three straight years. This was the only one they ended up winning. But three straight years
the
against
Bash
the
Brothers,
Giants.
Right?
Yeah,
those
sure.
Who remember the Bash Brothers, McGuire and Canseco.
Yeah, Dave Stewart. They had quite a squad there, the A's did. They only won one. But this year in 89, 21 minutes was before the first pitch was going to be thrown out, Loma Prieta earthquake. So you remember where you were, and there were 40, 50,000 people in and around the stadium. Oh, excuse me. And that was an unbelievable moment that, you know, it could have been much more devastating than it was. And thankfully, you know, the stadium didn't suffer severe damage and have, you know, and put all the fans in peril. But, yeah, what a moment, 1989.
Right. And when people are watching it live, I remember, you know, being up at Sullivan, upstate New York, and watching the game, and you're watching the TV, and you're watching it live, and you're like, what the heck? You know, you're so far away, you know, across the country, you're thinking, what's wrong with my television? You know, what's going on with the broadcast, this and that? I mean, that, it shook up the sports world, and there was no Facebook and Twitter, you know? I mean, and people didn't have cell phones, so everyone was really at a loss. And, you know, maybe some of our listeners can't even imagine a world like that, right, where, you know, people didn't have the cell phones, really. No one was, you know, on Facebook or Twitter, and some huge event like this happens. And it had to spread the old-fashioned way through TV or, you know, through the AP or, you know, CNN or different news, you know, outlets that, you know, could, you know, report things. And actually, CNN wasn't really doing things like that at that time. So that was amazing. That was amazing. And let's go to a positive. Let's talk about the grab, or some people like to say the catch two, with Vernon Davis, 2012, January 14th. Now, this is against the Saints. If you remember this game, Alex Smith, and this is big because the Niners have, you know, pretty much been bad since.
Well, they hadn't been in the playoffs for 10 years. 2002
yeah,
was the last time they were in the playoffs before
yeah,
that.
Yeah, the 02, 03 season, they were last time they were decent, like we were just saying with Jeff Garcia. And Alex Smith had the heroic run. They're driving on the night. The Saints were favored in this game. Everyone thought the Saints would, you know, handle the Niners. And Alex Smith, this game manager, you know, took control, ran for the big first down, got, you know, down the field, and then throws it to the vindicate. Like, this is when he became sort of the, you know, Mike Singletary kills Vernon Davis, right? You know, I can't play with him, can't have him, you know, selfish player. Well, this was sort of Vernon Davis's coming out party, had a great game, and he made the catch and the grab basically to have the Niners beat the Saints in the playoffs. They go ahead, and Kyle Williams becomes the GOAT, and they lose to the Giants January 22nd. So that's the sad side of Candlestick. And, you know, the fans, people went crazy, death threats to Kyle Williams, which is really a sad moment when he fumbled the kickoff. I remember it hit him and hit the ankle. Giants recovered and then, you know, kicked the game-winning field goal to go on to the Super Bowl and then beat the Patriots. But it's sort of fascinating from week to week in Candlestick Park, those high and low moments. And, you know, that's sort of any sports arena, right, where you can get – you know, both sides of the picture and both sides of the coin. So kind of fascinating.
All right. Well, we reached that moment, the number one play. And it hurts my heart to even talk about this play. So I'll let you talk about it. But I'll set it up. So it's January of 1982. I actually moved that weekend to the block. So Ray and Tay moved onto the same block. And the Cowboys
had the
dominated. The Cowboys had dominated. The Cowboys were the dominant team in the NFC, and then you had this upstart 49ers team with a new coach, Bill Walsh, and a new quarterback, the third-round pick out of Notre Dame in Joe Montana, and then I'll let you take it away.
Well, what's fascinating about this is that I believe the play was for Freddie Solomon originally.
It was.
But,
yeah.
You know, but what was awesome is that the Niners had two great receivers. And number 87, almost built like a futuristic type, not I want to say a tight end, but like a McCafferty type. He was a big, tall, lanky white guy named Dwight Clark. Go look it up for you young kids that don't know. Montana to Clark in the back of the end zone. Montana was scrambling, almost got sacked. I can't remember the linebacker that almost sacked him. I think it was number 51 from the Cowboys. And they're, you know,
Tootle Jones almost tipped the pass.
Yeah, he did almost tip it. But you had the linebacker and Tootle were both there. You'll see in the famous clip, 72 and 51, I think. And Montana throws it, and you're thinking, did he throw it away? And the ball's flying in the air. Everybody, I'm watching it at home. I'm sitting there like, oh, my gosh. And then before you know it, it's like, don't. You know, the end of the movie, the Rocky movie, the music comes on, the score, you can see it here. Dwight Clark in the back of the end zone in the corner where Gonzalez caught his catch, ironically, last night, Tony Gonzalez's last, you know, probable touchdown, not only a Candlestick, his first a Candlestick ever, but the last one on Monday Night Football for Tony Gonzalez, who's going to retire. He catches it just where Dwight Clark caught it in the corner of the end zone. Niners beat the Cowboys. And like Ray had pointed out to me off air, the Cowboys almost came down and scored because there were still about 51 seconds left on the clock. And who was it you said that fumbled? Drew Pearson?
Yeah.
When they tried to come back.
I mean, almost got to that ball, and then Drew Pearson gets tackled and almost scores coming back the other way. But a dynasty is born. So I think by far that's the biggest moment in Candlestick Park, because not only was it the catch to send them to the Super Bowl, which they eventually won against the Cincinnati Bengals, but it's the first of their five championships, and it really said to the world that the Niners were on the map, and Joe Montana became Joe Montana.
Well, 4-0 in Super Bowl history, and I believe what the franchise is 5-1. So, you know, that's pretty impressive. They lost to the Ravens last year. Kaepernick, the first one to lose. The Steelers are 6-1, but the Niners are 5-1. So Montana and then Young. And it's a great franchise. And I think it will continue in Santa Clara to be a great franchise. There's so many legendary players. You got to shout out Willie Mays and all the great Giant players, Barry Bonds. People want to hate him, but, you know, he basically helped build this new stadium that they have where they play, you know, because Barry Bonds was, you know, amazing as a Giant coming from the Pirates and played a couple of years in Candlestick before the new Giant Stadium. So it's we salute and say goodbye to Candlestick. All the old stadium. We still got Wrigley Field, and we still got Fenway, right?
Yep, those are the two old stadiums that are still kicking. But from the Giants and the Niners' perspective, a lot of memories in Candlestick Park. But the beautiful thing for them is that they can shut down on a victory for the Niners, and they can move on.
Yeah.
And both stadiums are going to be gorgeous. I mean, AT&T Park is fantastic, and the new facility they're building, what are they calling it, Levi Stadium, in the heart of Silicon Valley in Santa Clara is going to be phenomenal as well, and it's going to be one of those new-age stadiums with all the bells and whistles.
Oh, it's going to have
so
everything.
It's going to be great.
Technology-wise, yeah. So, look, a great show, and you know what? We'll be back Friday, but we got to, you know, say the Niners, we both picked them to win the Super Bowl. So last night was a step towards that direction. The Cardinals now need the Tampa Bay to beat the Saints. And the Niners, you know, they clinched a playoff berth last game at Candlestick Park. That's awesome.
Absolutely. So great show, great talking Niners, even for a Cowboy fan. Kudos to the Niners, the Giants, Candlestick Park, San Francisco, the Beatles. So we have some great memories at Candlestick Park. And like Tay said, join us on Friday. We'll talk some sports for the weekend, week 17, final weekend of the regular season. Nothing's been decided in the NFC. There's still some movement in the AFC as well.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot to talk about. Join us regular
and
time
it's official.
On Friday.
No Romo. He's not playing, so that's a hard one. But Eagle fans will be happy, and we'll talk about it on Friday. So,
all right. Well, we had a great time. Have a great week. Merry Christmas to everybody.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Enjoy them games.
We'll see you on the flip side. We'll see you on Friday.
Thanks for talking sports with friends.
With friends.
We're out.
We're out.
Heaven can't wait, but I ask it to relax. Cause God knows I gotta spit tracks with hot facts. One who reacts without thinking can have another person just be dead and sinking, blinking as thought travels fast, telling us to ignore the Constitution's past. My lyrics outlast liars' lies and the confusion that they supply, trying to make you say don't try or even take a question and say why, ask why. See, they try to multiply cause they want their money just to be on high. See, they got the voodoo, and that's what they're trying to see right through you. So watch your chips on your computer. They will just flip, steal you, clone you, then they just own you.
Heaven can't wait, but only God knows me. Heaven can't wait, but only God knows me. Heaven can't wait, but only God knows me. Heaven can't wait, but only God knows me.
Those same gospels who predicted the apostles.